is the Better Life, Better Work show, and I'm your host, Allison Crow. I'm an intuitive life and business coach here to help you create better life and better work. I help super successful people, you know, the recovering overachievers, put the soul back in their lives, and I help soulful people create success. On this show, topics range from the mystic to the logistic, and our content will support your being and your doing while on your path to create better life and better work. More is not better. Better is better. This is episode number 50. 50. I think we actually have more episodes than 50 because I didn't number some bonus episodes, but today feels like a special day. So I'm going to say happy number 50 to me. All right, you guys, I'm going to share a very personal but very common part of my story today and how I manage the inconvenience of depression. And so I'm going to give you a little bit of background, try to keep that brief, and then I'm going to tell you a story that recently happened to me about depression, and then I'm going to share with you some of the ways that I actually manage the inconvenience of depression. And so let me first off state, I am not a therapist, I'm a coach, and I am a human being who was diagnosed at 24 with clinical depression. It's something I have managed for much of my life, and it runs in my family. A lot of family members struggle with this too. And I also know that many, many, many of my colleagues and friends, especially in this day and age of overstimulation, and how we haven't been taught how to feel difficult feelings, also manage and live with depression and or anxiety. So the first part I want to tell you how, like, even acknowledging out loud that I struggle with depression and anxiety came to be absolutely a part of my business. So in 2009, I was a productivity coach. I was a coach of productivity coaches for a real estate organization. And I was doing 13 coaching sessions a day. I was having a great time. I was working really hard. I was in my 30s and newly married, but just running and gunning, overachiever phase. And I was doing really well. And I got asked to be on a panel of coaches for a national conference. And I don't remember the question. I don't remember any of the context except for my answer to an audience member's question was that I actually struggled with depression. And I don't remember what I said about it. Knowing me, I had a positive spin on it and very much like today, like how I manage it, because that's something I've been doing for a long time. I don't see it as an affliction. I notice it as an experience, just like, oh, I have a cold. Oh, I'm feeling a little depressed. And I don't take my depression personally. So I remember having, you know, this came out on this panel, and I remember this moment of, do I want to share that I've struggled with this? And I did. And afterwards, there was a line of other coaches across the nation that worked with my organization that were waiting to meet me. And every single one of them was saying, thank you so much for sharing. I struggle with depression too. Thank you so much for sharing. I struggle with depression too. And I remember at the time, one of my mentors looked at me a few days later in the office and she was like, I would never have said that. And that she was entitled to have that position, but I remember saying, I'm so glad I did. I felt human, and apparently a lot of our clients felt human too. And that was a moment early in my coaching career that I knew for me, I cannot speak for anybody else, but for me, that this is a part of who I am, and hiding it, depressing it down, only made it worse. And so that there were ways that I could share this part of my human condition, and I could still function, and I could be human and a leader, even though I struggle with Do I struggle or do I not struggle? It's interesting. I don't like to claim that identity of struggling. And yet sometimes it shows up. And so recently I had a very inconvenient depression episode. And depression for me, when it shows up, I think that everybody who experiences this probably has their own different symptoms. And mine are definitely a lack of interest. I get extremely tired and I want to sleep, because sleep is the fastest way through the depression. It's not necessarily my healthiest way. So I get very lethargic. I feel very gray. I don't feel deeply sad, but I also don't feel joy. There is a very overpowering numbness and grayness and flatness. It's like a flat line. So I'm still alive, but I'm flatlined. And for me, it's surreal. It's just something I've always experienced. And I've learned how to notice it and to witness it. I do take meds. I'm under the care of my doctor. And I've also, in the past few years, learned a couple of other things. So the other things that have helped me clinically, again, I'm not a doctor, but the other things that have helped me clinically is to clean up my eating a little bit. I went keto last summer. I don't really call myself full keto because I still have some sugar and I still have some carbs, but I definitely do not eat a lot of white processed flours and sugars. So I eat a lot more vegetables and I just eat a lot more cleanly. And that has really helped my energy. I've also been under the care of a doctor for my hormones and vitamins and supplements and those kinds of things. So those things have helped me clinically. And yet, from time to time, these depression episodes show up. And so recently, I had the experience right before a 4-day live event in my hometown of feeling depressed. So I have 35 clients coming in and I'm leading the event and don't really want to be depressed. And so I noticed that I was having this experience. One of the things that I do when I'm starting to feel it is, and it's for those of you that experience depression and anxiety, maybe you're this way, it doesn't like come on like an onslaught. It's like a frog boiling in a pot. And so you kind of think, oh, maybe I'm just a little off today. I think, oh, maybe I'm just a little off today. And then I realize, oh, it's here again today. And it's this gentle, slippery slope. And then all of a sudden I look up and realize, oh, I'm actually kind of in a depression right now. Like literally, think about the word depression. I was diagnosed with this and until recently, I didn't even think about what the word depressed meant. I'm depressing down difficult feelings. And because sometimes our depressing, our pushing down, our avoiding of difficult feelings is so deeply subconscious. So deeply, we're trained not to feel difficult feelings. I have a whole nother podcast on outsourcing difficult emotions. And for me, this was my primary way of doing it. It was easier to be depressed. Now, this is not something I chose, you know, consciously, but my nervous system, my emotional brain, my lizard brain said, oh, it's easier for you to be depressed than it is to feel these feelings. And so it was so fascinating. There was an early morning a couple of weeks ago, well, I guess over a month ago, and I noticed being up early with the dogs, and I sent a text to my girlfriend. I didn't want to, I didn't want to get in a big conversation. I got all independent. I didn't need help, but I just knew that I needed to let somebody know. Now, I was not suicidal or anything like that, but I felt like I needed to get it out of my body. And my friend Tracy Lee has a saying, better out than in. And so I sent Tracy Lee a text. And I just said, I'm in a really flat place and I was struggling with feeling depressed and in the void. And I'm judging it because I was 5 days and 34 people are coming to be loved on at a live event. And I just let her know. And so I was thinking, how do I not be depressed at this moment? And what I love, so step number one for me was just letting somebody know. I did not need her to fix me. I did not need her to help me. But just sharing my experience, reaching out and saying, will you hold my hand? May I hold your hand? I'm in this, period. And she wrote back the sweetest thing. Well, she didn't write back. I'm sorry. She picked up the phone and she called me. And she said, Allison, what if you don't judge it? You always say that to me. What if you didn't judge it? And I love that question. So if I didn't judge my experience of depression at the moment, and if I didn't judge whether it was convenient or not, was such a powerful question to me. Because for me, not judging it is the opposite of depressing even the depression down. Right? Hear that? Like, we can tend to be in a state of depression or grief or sadness or anxiety and we depress it down because we haven't been taught how to be healthily depressed. Is that even a thing? And so I loved that she asked me that question. I really was judging myself for it. And I was confused because it didn't make me, it was interesting though, even though I was depressed, I also sensed a great deal of contentment. This is one of the things, I'm a big both and person. I'm a big range and it confuses my brain. My brain wants me to be either I'm happy or I'm depressed. And that's not true. Like, I can be deeply content and satisfied and I can experience depression. And so her question of not judging it just helped me notice it. Depression isn't logical or convenient. And my response to it, I learned, could be so much more gracious. And so by not adding depression on top of depression, by allowing it space, it actually begins to transmute it for me. When I lift the self-judgment and shame, it begins to lighten. It may not happen instantaneously, but imagine the thing that comes is like a boiling pot. And if you have a lid on the boiling pot, it creates steam and pressure. And the pressure I put on myself makes the depression even more inconvenient, right? So we think we're helping ourselves, but we don't necessarily. So I realized when she asked, what if you didn't judge it? That I was judging it, and what that allowed me to do was move into a space of the soothing practices that help me be with my depression. This also works for my anxiety. This also works for boredom, recently I found out. It also works for agitation. It works for anything that we see on the lower vibration scale. I will not call these things negative. To me, the only negative is shame, blame, and guilt. And when I remove shame, blame, and guilt from depression, grief, anxiety, overwhelm, I am able to see more clearly. When I allow myself to feel what's underneath the depression, what's underneath the irritation, what's underneath the anxiety, what's underneath the boredom, and it's usually fear. It's so much easier to be depressed than afraid, is what my brain says. And so I move into that moment where I begin those practices. And for me, one of the practices, so number one was telling a friend, processing some of that out loud was super helpful. Then number two is really journaling with curiosity. What is this like if I'm not judging it? And if I'm not judging it, then I'm just in it and it's okay. And I don't feel the pressure, right? So back to the pot analogy, then I'm just the boiling water, but there is no steam building up pressure that wants to explode. There is no explosion of shame, blame, and guilt. There is no isolation that keeps me separate. Right? And so once I begin to notice and not judge, then the depression can just be. And it's not being molded by my shame, blame, and guilt. I find that for me, what I learned and working with Chris Seidel and Expressive Arts was really transformational in helping me understand emotions that were living under the surface. And I, if you struggle with depression, I cannot speak what it's like for anybody else. I cannot speak for my family members what it's like. All I know is my journey of exploring what's underneath. And so what I found was that even though I was days before this live event and it was terribly inconvenient for me to be depressed, the way to nurture it was to be and to notice what was going on underneath, to process through it with journaling, with talking with friends. And then the other thing I did was I actually did a post on Instagram and Facebook because I know through experience I'm not alone. And so the post wasn't about, you know, oh, woe is me, I'm so depressed, all this other stuff. I just said, you know, who are my powerful colleagues that also struggle with depression and anxiety? And that action for me is reminiscent of that very first panel I was on that said, hi, my name is Allison. I am a leader. I am a coach. I am a wise and powerful woman. I am a thinker and a learner and a reader and a connector and a lover and a beer. And I also struggle with anxiety and depression. Who else does? And kind of like me raising hands, it was my own, you know, I know that if I'm struggling with this, surely there are other people out there too. And I don't know about you, but when I know I'm not the only one, I'm not the only one who can isolate, I'm not the only one who can get in these head spins, it begins to make me not judge myself so much, to realize that it's normal. And then the other thing I can do is I can use my story to serve you. I can use my story to give hope, to give possibility, to give meaning. That, you know, one of the things I never had, I had amazing mentors that always showed me their perfect side. I got to see the beauty. I got to see the power from the stage. And when I would share things, my mentors would say, I would never share that. Like, keep that a secret. And God bless them for their shame, because their shame helped me discover my self-acceptance. And what I know for sure, stealing Oprah's line, what I know for sure is that the acceptance I have for both the shadow and the light has been the biggest healing and most powerful journey in my own being, my spirit, my body, and in my business. Before authenticity was cool or a buzzword, I was determined to be the kind of leader that I couldn't find. And that was, I'm a leader having a human experience. I cannot shove this stuff under the rug any longer. And so the biggest thing I can leave with you today, no matter who you are, leader, follower, both, whatever you are doing or being in the world, when the inconvenience of depression and or anxiety or any shadow feeling shows up, please, please release yourself from judging it. Look at it in a new way. I am not saying you have to go full Byron Katie and say, I love my depression, because that's a little difficult if you're in a place of hating it and struggling with it. But if you can at least imagine for a moment being who and what you are, but removing the right or wrongness of it, especially moving the wrongness of it, removing the fact that it's even inconvenient. And what I know is as soon as we release the shame, blame, and guilt, the true feelings are able to show up. The true thoughts are able to show up. And then the energy begins to move. And sure enough, in this story of my recent bout with depression, depression allowed for me to have a rest. If I didn't judge it, I could see, oh, energetically, I am getting small, going within so that I can be big for 4.5 days straight in front of 34, 35 people, right? Putting on a live event requires a lot of energy, emotion, content, connection, and for an introvert, that can be difficult. And so it's like, oh, I began to see this is not just clinical depression. This is my body's beautiful and natural contraction before an expansion, right? And when I start to judge my contractions instead of realize they're a natural rhythmic part, then I make it even worse. That's where it becomes clinical instead of just, that's where it becomes like something to worry about. And so let me breathe. I notice I'm feeling vulnerable telling you guys all this stuff. I notice that it's not so much that I'm sharing about my depression. I'm comfortable with that. But I don't ever want to make any presumptions about your experience with depression, with your experience with mental illness, with your experience with anxiety, because your experience may be different from mine. If you need clinical help, get clinical help. There's been times when I needed clinical help. And I do know that releasing the shame, blame, and guilt, sharing with a friend, and doing my soothing practices, especially there, depression, I see you, I won't leave you, I'm here for you, depression. Being witness to my own depression can be a loving and sacred act that actually transmutes it into something. Alchemy. It creates a magic alchemy that shifts my energy and helps me increase not only my capacity to feel what's ever on the shadow end of my range, but it also propels me into feeling the goodness. So, yeah, that's what I've got for you today. I'd love to hear your insights. I'd love to hear if this had an impact on you. It feels really special for episode number 50 to share with you. I send a little prayer for you if you are somebody that experiences depression and anxiety. And my prayer is that the next time you have an experience, or if you're an experience, that you might be able to see this state without shame, blame, or guilt, so that you can lovingly practice, reach out for help, and love who you are and where you are in this moment. Thanks for listening, and I'll see you next week for episode number 51. Hey, if you enjoyed this episode and want to dive deeper, come check out Soulful Success. It's my online coaching membership community where we dive deep into the practices of being and doing that help you create your unique version of soulful success in the world. It's a special community of small business owners just like you, and it's where I show up and give my clients personal support at an accessible fee. Check it out at www.soulfulsuccess.info. That's SOULFULL. SUCCESS.info. SoulfulSuccess.info. As always, thanks for listening. Totally appreciate you thinking about somebody who might really love this episode and you sharing it with them. Also, I always appreciate your reviews. It's like podcast currency. It's like a tip in the jar saying thanks. And finally, if you want to share on social media a screenshot or any insights you get from listening to this episode, I will totally respond. You can share with the hashtag Better Life, Better Work Show. This show is sponsored by my three rescued dogs, Leroy Brown, Clementine, and Rocky Potato. They're here to remind you to consider adoption when you get your next pet. More is not better. Better is better.